And open with me, if you would, tonight to the Gospel of Mark in the fourth chapter, Mark chapter 4, this evening as we come to the study of God's Word, as we again look forward to the closing of one year and the beginning of a new year. And in that beginning of a new year, we enter into the realm of endless possibilities. Although there are many uncertainties that come with a new year, you and I are given the opportunity to now walk by faith and know the unfathomable blessings of God. This morning we consider together the importance of our life's pursuit, the right pursuit, that being the pursuit of Jesus Christ. We know that we need to be rising to another level of ministry in the year to come to elevate. We don't want to ever become stagnant or to plateau in our spiritual development. And if all of that is true, then folks, the reality is, then you and I, it will require a new level of faith for us. In Mark chapter 4, the Lord Jesus is seeking to increase the faith of his disciples. He is well aware that one day, much sooner than they would ever imagine, they would no longer be walking in the plain sight of his presence, but would be required, as you and I, to walk by faith and not by sight. Tonight, I want you to see some of the lessons that the Savior sought to teach his disciples some 2 millennia ago. And we want to be able to learn how we can walk by faith as we seek to grow in our understanding, in our personal walk, in our development, in the life of in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at just verse 35 down through verse 41. Simple text, perhaps familiar to us, but I trust the lessons will be beneficial to us as we consider, again, the life of faith required of us in the coming year. Follow along as I read, then we'll have a word of prayer. It says, "In the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, he took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, tonight as we come to these few verses found in the Gospel of Mark, I pray that, Lord, you would help us and teach us as to the manner of faith that is required for us to walk in a way that we would be able to continue to grow, be able to reach a new level spiritually, both individually and as a church family. Father, I pray that tonight you would teach us from your word. May we have open ears, hearts receptive to receive, and may we then be willing to apply it to our lives, our families, that we might know your richest blessings in the year to come. So Lord, we commit this now to you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, as you and I begin to look at the passage together, I want you to note with me as we seek to understand the lessons that the Lord desires now to teach his disciples, I want you to see with me the surroundings of this lesson. The passage of Scripture before us gives to us many considerations as the Lord begins to teach his disciples concerning their faith. His desire is to see what manner of faith it is that they had, that they possessed. He understood that, yes, now they walked by sight. They were there within his presence. They could see him perform these wonderful miracles. But his long-term desire and goal was for them to be able to learn these lessons that they might be able to soon walk by faith. And folks, it would be necessary in just a few short years of time They're no longer going to be walking with the Lord. They're going to be walking apart. They're not going to be walking together as a band of brothers. They're going to be out scattered about the world, taking the good news of the gospel with them to the other regions of this world. And they will be required to stand for God and promote the gospel and advance the kingdom of God. And that's going to require a life of faith. And Jesus comes to them, and in this lesson wants to help them see what manner of faith they possess. Our Savior was the master teacher, using many different methods to teach his disciples. We can go to the Gospels and we can read his sermons that he preached. We can listen to him as he teaches these wonderful parables of truth. We can watch him as he teaches through the miracles that he performs. But here tonight, he uses an object lesson in order to teach them concerning the manner of faith that they possess and to challenge them to a life of greater faith. The lessons that he seeks to teach his disciples were designed to help them as they are soon to go out and to serve him without his presence being available to them in the physical form that they're now used to. This lesson concerning the importance of life of faith takes place on the Sea of Galilee. I have to admit, I'm a little jealous. Eddie was on the Sea of Galilee a little bit earlier this week, yesterday or today, I believe. And he got to see what we're looking at right now in the Word of God. He's there in Israel. He's on the Sea of Galilee. Here's the reality. This is what's taking place. They're there at the Sea of Galilee. In verse 35, we find the Savior instructs his disciples to say to them, it's time now to go to the other side. And so they launch out into the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is known for its violent storms. And the Lord knew that this journey, there was going to be such a storm. This storm does not catch the Lord by surprise. In fact, he sends them out into the midst of this storm in order to teach them the value of faith and to walk by faith and not by sight. He would teach them this lesson through the avenue of a crisis. And as the disciples to face this storm, and by the way, to them, they faced it alone. The Lord is not with them on the upside of the boat. He is down in the lower parts of the boat, and there he is asleep. And as they face this challenge alone, apart from Christ, although he was near, they become overwhelmed with fear and they assumed the worst. Folks, when you look at what's taking place in the life of the disciples, this crisis reveals their need of faith. In fact, in verse 40, the Lord Jesus would say to them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The Lord's desire is for them to learn the valuable lesson and the importance of a life of faith. You and I are launching out into a new year. God already knows, by the way, what we're launching out into, does he not? God knows what's in our path this coming year. God knows what's coming for your family. There might be great and wonderful blessings and great joy. There might be crisis on the horizon. You and I do not know, and you and I cannot see afar off, but God already knows what's in our path. And his desire is that you and I this year would walk by faith. As we seek to advance the work of the ministry, as we seek to reach new people with the gospel, as we seek to be a help and a blessing to others within our midst, as we seek to see our ministry continue to increase and to elevate in our understanding of the scripture and our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, all of those things require for us faith. What manner of faith do we have this year? Are we ready to go out into the deep and follow the Lord into whatever path he has for us? We see the surroundings as the storm there upon the Sea of Galilee. But I want you to note next with me, if you would, the setback to their faith. The disciples had the wonderful privilege of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. They have been witnessing him perform the many miracles. They have listened to him as he teaches the multitudes. And so the question is, how is it that they have no faith? And that's what the Lord Jesus asked them in verse 40. How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so filled with fear? Christ was with them in the boat. The creator of heaven and earth is there. The God of eternity past and present and future was right there with them. Yet they're filled with fear. And Christ asked the question, why do you have no faith? They've seen him for who he is. They've listened to him preach and teach. They've marveled at his wisdom. They've seen his miracles and the power that he possesses. They know he is God, and yet they lacked faith. Before you and I are too hard on the disciples tonight, can I remind you that you and I have had a greater privilege than what the disciples have had? You and I have been given a great and wonderful privilege, because not only do we have the Spirit of God residing within us, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God. Remember Peter's words in 2 Peter chapter 1? He says, I was an eyewitness to these things, these wonderful events, even the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. I have seen it with mine eyes, but you have something greater, the word of God. A more sure word of prophecy. And folks, when you and I open up the word of God and we cannot understand it for ourselves and we begin to wonder and we're perplexed by what we read, do you recognize and realize that living within you is the author of the Holy Scripture, the Spirit of God, who has taken up residence in your heart that will guide you in the truth of the word of God? We have been given a great and wonderful privilege. So what is it that causes us setbacks in our faith? What is it that caused the setback in the faith of his disciples? I think the passage reveals three things that caused the disciples to be afraid. And so instead of walking by faith, they began to live in fear. I want you to see these with me briefly tonight as, again, we look at the passage. Number one, I want you to note with me that a setback to their faith was simply this. They feared what they could not see. Look again with me at verse 36. It says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was into the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. The first little thing that we see is simply this, that they were afraid and unable to walk by faith because of that which they could not see. And folks, where I find that is simply in this little phrase, that there arose a great storm of wind. Wind is something that we cannot see, although the effects are seen. Wind at times can be refreshing, but it can also be powerful and frightening. And on that night, there in the Sea of Galilee, arises a storm of wind. There were things that they could not see. And fear arises within their heart. And folks, what is often a setback to our faith and what causes us to fear are the things we cannot see. Here's what I mean by that. Like wind, we see the effects. We don't understand the reasons, right? We see results, we see problems, we see difficulties, but we cannot see the cause. We wake up in the morning, all of a sudden there seems to be a storm within our life, and we're not sure how we really seem to have gotten here. Things kind of take us by surprise. And we're seeing the effects of the winds and the storms blowing upon our life. But what we cannot see is the cause. And we become perplexed. We become confused. We become filled with fear because I cannot see. And in those times, what we are seeking is what God says, in essence, is none of our business. We are seeking understanding when what our heart should do is trust. Again, Proverbs 3:5 is such a familiar verse, but understand the meaning of it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Take the burdens and cares of life, literally roll them upon the Lord. And the idea of the phrase is to roll the full weight of that burden onto his shoulders and leave it there. Then it follows and says, don't lean to your understanding. In the storms of life, with the things that we cannot see, you and I are not supposed to seek understanding. We're supposed to live by faith. Family trials come within to our life and we want understanding and we may not get it. Financial difficulties come and we're trying to figure out what we can do. We were blindsided by the fact that now I no longer have that job. Will we have enough? Will we be able to survive? What's going to happen? Where are we going to go? And we can allow fear to overcome because we want understanding. And God says, bring it to me. Cast all of your care upon me because I care for you. Trust in me. The need for us is to humble ourselves, realizing that there is nothing that we can do, but God is able. What were the disciples going to do about wind? Can they stop it? Is it going to help them to try to turn the boat around? You're not going to outrun it. The reality is they're in the midst of a violent storm. But what they cannot see causes them to fear. But can I say this to you? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything outside of his control? The other thing that causes these men to be so afraid is not only that which they cannot see, but they're afraid of what they cannot control. Notice what it says. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. The waves are a setback to their faith. And folks, I want to remind you who's on the boat. Besides the Lord Jesus Christ, who's asleep in the hinder part of the boat, who's up on top? Who's up on top? Disciples. Who are they? Fishermen. Think this is the first storm they've ever encountered on the Sea of Galilee? Folks that grew up on this sea, they grew up in these boats. So that can begin to explain to you just how great and how fearful a thing this was. But it's because they lacked faith. Their skill was no match for the waves. It is now outside of their control, and the boat begins to take on water, and these skilled fishermen are now afraid for their own lives. And folks, that's obvious when they come to the Lord Jesus and say, do you not care that we are about to die? They are afraid of that which they cannot control. Folks, there are many things in life you and I just frankly can't control. And I wish we could, right? When problems come, don't you wish you'd grab every life by the horn, so to speak, and just make everything come out the way you want it to come out? You want control, but we don't always get it. We can give all of our effort and all of our energy, but the waves sometimes are more than we can handle. Outside of our skills and our abilities, no longer under our control. And instead of walking by faith, we allow fear to overcome us. And the problem is our pride. We want control. We want to be in charge. And that begins to hinder our faith. Our need is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. for he is the one who controls all things. There's a third thing which called them fear. Not only is that which they cannot see and that which they cannot control, they feared that which to them was uncertain. The fear of the unknown. They didn't know the outcome of this storm. They didn't know how long the duration of the storm would last. They simply, at this point, feared that they would die. Isn't it amazing that no matter what we know or don't know, even when we don't know the end result, that never stops us from fearing the worst. You experience that in your own life? We don't know the outcome. Our assumption is the absolute worst. That's where we seem to go first. I can't see it. I can't control it. I'm doomed. And we don't know the outcome yet. But we automatically begin to fear. And they had already gone to the place that says, we will not survive the storm. They didn't know its duration. They didn't know how much longer it would last. They didn't know if the winds would increase or decrease. But the assumption was, tonight we die. They feared the worst. Folks, in our pride, we often assume the worst because we fear what might happen to the thing that we love the most. And in that fear, we no longer walk by faith. Again, we must humble ourselves before the Lord in order that be reminded that he loves us with an everlasting love. Underneath are his everlasting arms. Nothing separates us from the love of God. Folks, nothing. And yet his disciples were filled with fear because of what they could not see, what they could not control, and to them, what was absolutely uncertain. No faith, only fear. What's the solution then for their faith? In the midst of this great trial of their faith, the Lord revealed to them indeed a problem. Pride had rendered their faith powerless. Although they were with the Savior, the creator of heaven and earth, they forgot to look unto him. So what then is the solution to the problem of our lack of faith? When you and I are overcome with fear, and that fear hinders us from going forward for the Lord, perhaps it's a family crisis. Perhaps it's a problem at work. Perhaps it's a physical ailment that's overcome us. And the reality is we don't know if we'll ever be healed of it or not. Perhaps it's an issue that we're faced together as a church. What are those things that cause us to say, I can't walk by faith? And what's the solution to it? Well, folks, the solution, thankfully, is rather simple. In the midst of this great trial of their faith, the Lord reveals again a simple solution. The first thing that you and I must remember is the Lord. In the midst of these storms, we must remember the Lord. Again, notice the story with me. They sent away the multitude. They took him even into the ship. There where he was with other little ships, there arises a great storm. The winds are blowing. The waves are pounding against the boat. We find verse 38 that he's in the hinder part of the ship. He's asleep on a pillow. They awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, I'm glad they got to that point. But I think they got there a little late. Say, Pastor, why do you think that? Because, folks, to this point, they had tried everything they could to fight the storm. These skilled fishermen had done all that they have, and now they've come to this point where they recognize that the boat is sinking and soon they will die. They did everything in their power to save themselves. They tried everything, but they forgot the Lord. Thankfully, they remembered him. And so they come to the Lord and say, "Don't you care that we're about to die?" Folks, in the midst of the storms of our life, we must remember the Lord. In the midst of our Christian journey, we endeavor to do all that we can in our own strength, in our wisdom, in our might, and we forget the Lord. But he is the one to whom we should run. He is the one to whom we should come. And folks, understand, it's not like they didn't know who was there. This group believed him to be the Messiah. They knew the prophecy that this is Emmanuel, God with us, yet they forgot to look unto him for help. We do the same thing. It's not that we don't know that God is there. It's not that we don't know that he is ever present with us, that he is near unto us. It's not that we don't recognize that the Spirit of God lives within us and that when we pray, God already knows the feelings of our infirmities. He already knows our problems. He knows our weaknesses, that he knows that we are but dust. The problem isn't that we don't have the facts. The problem is we lack faith. And the need is for you and I to look unto the Lord. He is our greatest source of help. And when we walk by faith, the first place that we turn is to the Lord. If he's the last resort for you and me, if he's the last one to whom we come, and please understand what that reveals is you are walking by sight, you're not walking by faith. But when that trouble arises, when we begin to feel the effects of the wind and we see the waves beating upon the boat, our first response is the Lord. Then we're walking by faith. Not only do we remember the Lord, but secondly, in order to walk by faith, we must rely on him who is in control. We must rely on the one who is able to control all things. Folks, you recognize that Jesus Christ, our God, is the one who controls things that we do not see. He controls those things which we cannot, and he is able to control all of that which is uncertain. He sees the beginning from the end. Nothing is a surprise. Sometimes we get shocked in this life. Sometimes we get taken off guard. God sees it all. He understands it. He knows the end from the beginning. He is the one able to control all things. There is nothing outside of his ability to control. Look at what happens, folks. He arises. He comes and he rebukes the wind and says unto the sea, "Peace, be still." They're in the midst of a violent storm. And Jesus stands up in the midst of the storm and says, "Peace, be still." And the wind stops. The waves no longer crash. And the Sea of Galilee looks like a sea of glass. And here's the response of the disciples. "What manner of man stands now before us? The wind and the sea obey his voice." He is able to control that which we cannot control. He is able to work all things together for good. The storms of your life will obey the voice of God. They will. Satan cannot have any impact upon your life or my life unless we let it or God allows it. And when God says stop, it ends. When God says enough, it's enough. When God says that his grace is sufficient for you, his grace is enough. It's all you need. So walk by faith. The final thing that we see is that we must rest in the truth that he has the power to save. That's a lesson that his disciples learned on that night. There is no trouble from which he cannot rescue us. Remember the words of 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13? There is no temptation taking you but such is common to man, and God is faithful, will with the temptation provide a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. There is nothing that comes into your life and my life that he cannot provide a way out. There is no trial that he cannot give for you the wisdom that is needed. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberty and upbraideth not, it shall be given you. What is required? Let him ask in faith. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He is able to bring peace to the storm when you and I learn to rest in him. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Life is burdensome. Sometimes the storms are great. It seems like they will overwhelm us and even overtake us. And we come to the place that we say, does God really care that I'm about to die? And folks, we're just like his disciples. And the God of heaven is looking down and saying, why do you lack the faith? Trust in me. Rely on me. Remember me. I have the power to save. The final thing that's required, therefore, for this to take place, folks, is you and I have to relinquish our pride. The disciples had to learn that they lacked faith. That lack of faith was the result of their pride. There had to come a point where they stopped trying. They stopped trying to do it through their skill, through their wisdom, through their might, and let go and leave it with the Lord. And at that, he said, peace be still. If you and I, beloved, are going to accomplish all that the Lord desires for us in these days, then we all know that that's going to require faith. We must be willing to walk by faith and not by sight. Before us are endless possibilities of a new year, new opportunities for outreach, new people to bring to Jesus Christ, new problems and people to invest in, to see the power of God work within their lives and transform them. New opportunities and challenges for us within the ministry. Who knows what 2020 holds? We have an election coming. The Democrats have their way. Persecution's coming to you and I. And it will come swiftly. And folks, don't be shocked by that. If the Democrats win and they assume control, one of probably the first things that they will go after in our religious liberties and trying to destroy the church is to take away tax exemption. They know it'll cripple a lot of churches. And a lot of churches might just say, it's time to fold. That's a storm. That's a wind. Those are waves. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, right? Is he not able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we ask or think? He is. It's already taking place in our neighbors to the north. But pastors are being charged for hate crimes because they speak out against homosexuality. Some have already been imprisoned. Why? Because of liberal control. Although they claim a freedom of speech, there's no freedom to speak out for the things of God. Those very same things will come our way, quite possibly within this nation. We have no guarantees of this freedom. But while we have it, let us use it. And if it goes away, Sure, we ought to stand for our religious liberties. And sure, we ought to fight for those things politically. Don't misunderstand. But we serve a God who is greater than anyone and any king or president or body of parliament or government on this earth. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all bow to him. I don't know what's coming, but I sure am excited about it. I'm looking forward to what the Lord will lay before us in the coming year. I'm looking forward to the growth that can happen, the new folks that will be added, the changes that come to us as a family because of that. Those are exciting times, are they not? They are, and we ought to be excited. But I'm going to warn you in advance, those changes require faith, and at times, our faith will be tested. Some of you sitting here tonight have your faith already under test. Don't forget God. Rely on him. Look to him. Know that he is able to save in this instance in your life at this time. He has not forgotten you. He cares for you. And you're not about to perish. Let go of that pride. And run to Christ as we sang tonight. For those of us maybe not in those storms, prepare yourself for them because they'll come. They will. We all face them within our lives. And they are lessons from the Lord. And sometimes they reveal to us a crisis of heart. And what it tells us is this: you're walking by sight, not by faith. And God says, but I will pour you out blessing upon blessing as you walk by faith and not by sight. Winds will blow, and I won't even know where it's coming from. I'll see the waves beating upon the boat, and I'll be able to look down and say, we're taking on water. But he is there. He is able to save. And when he saves to the uttermost. We serve a great and wonderful God. And may we walk by faith and not be overcome by fear. I'm looking forward to the challenges that lie ahead, the blessings of 2020. I hope you are too. And I'm looking forward to working together with you as we meet those challenges, as we move forward for God and advance his kingdom in the midst of one of the darkest cities in America. By the way, we can change those statistics. Do you know that? It took 12 men to turn the world upside down and fill Rome with the gospel. It could take one congregation to turn a city from darkness to light. And the way that happens is we preach Christ. He who is crucified, he who is risen from the grave. It is Christ who is lifted up. It is Christ who is elevated. And when Christ is lifted up, men are drawn to him. And then we see the results and the power of the gospel on display. I'm looking forward to this coming year. I trust you are as well. Let's pray together, please, as we close. Our Father, as we look to this coming year, as we understand that there may be times of challenges that will come, I pray that we would desire to walk by faith in these days. Yes, there will be winds that blow, waves that beat upon our boats. At times, we might even take water in. But how we're so thankful that you will have promised to never leave us nor forsake us. You are there in the midst of the storm, and one word from you at the right time will bring peace to that storm. Lord, we ask and pray that you would cause us to truly walk and live by faith. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for that work that you will do within our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.